You're listening to Radio Influence.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
And welcome to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track, and we're your weekly source for performance information. If you want to get in touch with us, please reach out. CrushPerformance.com is our home base, our mothership, so to speak, the place where you can sign up for our newsletter, subscribe to our podcast, or just get linked up with the very latest in the world of human performance. You can also follow us on social media. On Twitter, follow me at Jeff Crush. And on Instagram, YouTube, and on Facebook, search out Crush Performance. We've got a lot going on there. And man, oh man, do we have a lot going on. Hey, listen, I just got back from a fantastic trip to Vero Beach with Major League Baseball. They hosted the Major League Baseball USA Softball Elite Development Invitational. Some of the most talented girls aged 13 to 16 from around the country. Some of the greatest coaches were there. And it was a week of just athlete development, athlete performance. It was fantastic. And Major League Baseball has committed to taking over the historic Dodger Town in Vero Beach. Fantastic. I've been there way back in the day in my time with the Blue Jays. Haven't been there for years. It was great to return. What a fantastic historic facility in terms of baseball. When the Dodgers left in 2009 for Arizona, it left a massive, massive hole in the baseball landscape around Florida. Of course, a team now missing from Florida's Grapefruit League. It impacts the minor league systems down there, certainly impacts the spring training schedules, and what a massive, massive loss for the community of Vero Beach and the surrounding area. Those minor league teams or minor league complexes, spring training complexes, are massive areas of job creation and revenues for those areas. So when the Dodgers left, it impacted not just baseball, but that community as well. The facility's been well used. Community-wise, lots of tournaments and going on, but now Major League Baseball is stepping in and they're taking over. They're revitalizing the facilities. They're really, really looking at a long-term plan. There's a 10-year strategic plan in place. It is going to be a major, major training center. This is one of the first programs that they're having there to launch this new era in Dodgertown. It will forevermore now be known as the Jackie Robinson Training Complex. What a huge, huge tribute to one of the pioneers in the game of baseball. He meant so much, not just to the game, but society in general. And I'm just taken back down there seeing the new signs. And you could check out my Instagram and my Twitter posts. I have posted pictures of the new signs for the Jackie Robinson Training Complex. Just fantastic stuff. More to come down there. Really great for baseball and really great for that entire area of Vero Beach, which is fantastic, by the way. If you've never been down there, that East Coast of Florida, really, really, really beautiful place. So just got back from there. A crazy schedule coming up. We've got a lot of travel, and if you guys want to follow along, I'm really going to try to master this Instagram stuff. I'm really digging it. I get a lot of information off of Instagram. There's so much garbage out there, but if you're interested in athlete performance and pushing the limits of human performance, that's what we're all about. If you're not familiar with the show, we've got an incredible schedule coming up as we work the globe in the name of human performance and sport performance. Just coming off of this incredible trip with Major League Baseball to Vero Beach, we're heading to the Netherlands for the first Olympic qualifier, softball qualifier, coming up 2020. Well, that's happening in Utrecht in Holland. We come back, Serie BC is the Americas qualifier for softball. And then we head over to Italy for the baseball qualifiers. And in February and March, the Americas will happen in Arizona and Florida. That'll sort of be the culmination. There is also qualifiers going on in Korea and in China as well. And then, of course, the big games in 2020. So, real exciting time for baseball. And in between there, I'll be traveling to Brazil, Curaçao, and hopefully Puerto Rico to help those programs develop as well. And of course, our hockey guys are in the offseason, so we're helping as many of those players as possible. Our football guys, they're getting underway with their camps. And of course, we've got the radio show that we're so passionate about. So follow along. It's going to be just an absolute crazy summer into the fall here. But we are so, so excited to be on the edge and working to help promote good things in sport. Really good things in sport. And, you know, anytime I can get with developing athletes, it just reminds me how much I love this stuff. I love supporting the coaches. I love working with the athletes. And I really, really like changing the direction of where we're going in sport. And I've just, again, been lucky enough to work at the highest level of a sport. I've been surrounded with some of the smartest people in the world on the medical side, on the research side, on the science side. And I've always sort of had that inquisitive mind where if I have a question, I need an answer. And again, if you've read my book, The Performance Plan, there's actually a picture in there of my board, my little cork board in front of my desk here. I'm looking at it right now. And there's a couple little signs that I keep posted there just to remind me of where we're at. And two of them out there, and if you look in my book, it's on page 10 or something, you can see a picture of this exact cork board. I put it in there. Two things that are like eye level that I just made sure eye level. Of course, pictures of my family and Teddy, my dog, you know, God bless his soul. My dad is here. God bless him as well. Pictures of some of my travels with some of my close friends with the Blue Jays. But right at eye level, there's two little notes, just little reminders. Luck is the residue of preparation. That's how I like to think of it. We don't subscribe to luck at all in any way, shape, or form. It is simply a turnout of your preparation for whatever you're trying to do. And then the other one that might be more relevant to this conversation is I have this thing said, what I don't know could fill a warehouse. And I think that's just self-evaluation, understanding myself. And you know what? Maybe just from being so inquisitive over the years, you guys have all experienced it. You know, you have a question and you go searching for an answer. Now with Google and the internet, it's a whole new world, of course, because you can go in there. You have to be careful of the information you're looking at. That's why I always recommend to my athletes, if you're going to research something yourself, go find it. Let's talk about it and make sure the source is credible. Like if you see a general article from a newspaper clipping or a magazine that says, you know, hey, the latest in muscle development, well, try to get to where that information came from. Try to get to the research studies. Get back to the researchers and the peer-reviewed journals that the data is published in. That's how we do it. If we see something interesting coming across the news wire, we're tapped into, well, countless research feeds that we just monitor on a regular basis. But when there's something new, we try to get to the researchers that actually did the study. And for the most part, every one of them will say, hey, definitively, this is what we found. Or this is what we found, but much more work needs to be done in this particular area. So be careful of what you read out there, but don't stop looking. And you guys know, and you've experienced it, getting back to my point, that when we find something that we're interested in, we're trying to find an answer, and you click that search button, or you go to the library and look at the index, oh my goodness. One question leads to another question, leads to another. It's a rabbit hole. And then you quickly realize, or at least I quickly realized years and years and years ago, what I don't know could fill a warehouse. And I honestly, humbly understood very early on that I'll never know it all. So I better know what I'm going to know really, really well. And I think that's where, as a professional, whether you're an athlete or whether you're a sports scientist or a researcher or a teacher or musician, whatever it is you are, I think that's where you start gravitating. Okay, this is what I really want to do well. And, you know, the people that I know who are the best in the world, and I have full respect for any high performer because they've made a commitment. They made a commitment to being at that next level. And that's not always easy. It's not easy. But here's the one thing we do for sure is we make sure that if we're going to be sharing something or if we're going to be learning something or if we're going to be teaching something, we better know it pretty good, really, really well. And again, we continue to learn. In every aspect of our research and development or our programming, we're an open book. And here's what I can promise you. I'll promise you this right now, and I can tell you this for a fact. If we find a better way to do something, if research and science or just trial and error shows us a better way to do it, we will adjust. will adjust across the board. And so when you get into these conversations and these environments where there's high-performance athletes, I love it. I really do miss the team environments. I miss steering careers and athlete performance on a long-term basis. But that said, I can't tell you how much I love sharing information like this. The guests we have had on this show, oh my goodness, just go back in the archives. And though, you know, sometimes we tend to be a little out there in terms of what we're talking about, I like to think we're on the front edge. And I try to make sure that you guys are getting information that's on the front edge of whatever we're talking about. But here's the thing about being on the front edge. All right. And this is a problem we're seeing in sport. Everybody wants to be good right now, or everybody wants to have it right now. If you're going to be riding that front edge of whatever it is you do, you better have a rock solid foundation. And this program in Vero Beach with these young athletes who are just now getting into their commitment to their game, it's no different than our academies in Europe or our hockey guys who are working with the agents now. Now they've committed to chasing down their dreams. You better have a good foundation. And I think this is what's missing. This is one of the problems with too much competition. It's one of the problems with some of the programming we're seeing out there. It's focused more on outcomes rather than taking a step back, building the foundation that will enhance those outcomes in the long run. So to get to it, when we talk about our athlete development, and this sets up the show for today, again, one of the things we're going to be tackling here information and feedback I've gotten recently on the show is people are missing the Crush War on Sugar. And it's not that we're ignoring it. We are researching it feverishly. But there's some incredibly new research coming out on how the body works. And honestly, I'm so enamored with this. The next War on Sugar episode that we do, I want it to be about this. Because I think this is really going to change how we all think about not just athlete performance and long-term development, but our health in general. Oh, man. If we were to measure the two most precious commodities on the planet, the two most precious commodities to you, what would you say? Just think about this. If I were to ask you right now, answer this question for me. What are the two most precious things you control right now? Well, I'm not sure what you said. I'd love you to write in the answer to us at info@crushperformance.com. You can maybe send me a message on Twitter at Jeff Crush, on Instagram for sure. But, you know, we contemplated this question with our athletes at every single level. And when we come to it, when we break it down and come to the final solution of this, when we break down all the lists and all the ideas, our children, our health, our pets, our finances, you know, our performance, our health, most certainly, time. Yes, your health and time are the two most precious commodities that we have control of. Having good health, there's no replacement for that. And we can't get back the time that we've lost, so we better make use, great use, of the time that we have, which is kind of a conundrum in sport performance, and, well, human performance for that matter, because there's a period where you have to be satisfied maybe not being that good, where you've got to be challenged in order to set you up for an incredible run at reaching your true potential in sport, which we don't know what it is, by the way. Until you've gone through a process like this, we don't know how good you can get. But the problem we're seeing in sport is everybody's so concerned about outcomes and being the best right now. Sometimes we're setting ourselves back. There has to be a time when we're incredibly challenged, where maybe we're not that successful in terms of outcomes, for the greater good. For the greater good. So you have to use your time wisely, because development is on a time scale. There is chronological development, there's training development, but there's also the principles of human development. And if you follow the peak height velocity curves in a human being, man, we're making massive mistakes out there. I see it everywhere. In the weight room, way too early. Focused on skill and competition, way too much, way too soon. So getting back to the principles, foundations. Foundation, build your foundation to maximize your performance. You know, again, we talk about this ceiling of performance. This is how we like to talk about it. If we get a 12, 13, 14-year-old into a program right now, we like to say, okay, look, this is where you're at. We need a clear idea of where you're at and where you came from up to this point. And then we need to understand where you want to go. What do we want this 13, 14, 15-year-old to look like when they're 18, when they're 20, when they're 25? Because what you do now will set that trajectory. And not that you can't course correct along the way, because the whole dance, it's a dance, is about course correcting and adapting and changing the stimulus and the training to maximize performance outcomes long time. But if we're doing the wrong thing as a 13-year-old, we're lowering the ceiling of that future 20-year-old, that future 25-year-old. Do you understand what I'm saying? Being so focused on being the best player at your age group now might be the worst possible thing you could do. Maybe it's the best. But you have to be aware of all this stuff. And that's why I love these conversations, these programs that we're involved in. And when we go down and we talk about it, well, here's the foundations. Here's the foundations that you need to be thinking about. Your program has to be set up and has to revolve around rest, recovery, and sleep. Sleep's the number one. You guys all know this. We say it all the time. You guys, we're not going to stop saying this because it's so important for you, for your athletes, for your students, for your kids, for you. Most importantly for you, let's be a little selfish right now. I want you to think about yourselves. Get more sleep. Your competitive schedule will be really the defining factor of how we set up the program, right? Because you can't change that. It is what it is. The MLB schedule, the NHL schedule, MLB schedule, NCAA schedule, it is what it is. We look at the competitive schedule and then we figure out, okay, you've got a class load, you're working a part-time job, you're playing multiple sports as a young athlete. How much quality rest time do you have in your world right now? And adding more things into your world and into your schedule, it could upset the balance where we go over the tipping point because we're seeing it way too often now. The injury rates in our young athletes across the board. Wait, in a couple weeks, we're going to talk about developmental basketball. You think what we said about developmental baseball, go back and listen to our show with Jamie Reed a couple weeks ago where we talked about developmental baseball. Listen, that's not about baseball, ladies and gentlemen, athletes out there. That's about athlete development and human development, and the numbers are scary. But in the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about some of the numbers coming out of developmental basketball. I didn't realize this myself. This is something I'm just learning. It's as scary as baseball. The injury rates for young athletes, it's as scary as baseball. And I never thought I would see this because of the throwing motion in baseball. It's so crazy. But we're seeing it in basketball. Anyway, when you build your programs, competitive schedule, and then prioritize rest, recovery, and sleep, and then build everything else, your extra training, your strength and conditioning, your skill, technical, tactical work, team practices, all have to revolve around. We never sacrifice rest, recovery, and sleep for any of that stuff. And we've got it backwards way more than we don't. Second, nutrition and hydration. Third, posture, range of motion around the joint, really critically important. For the number four priority before we start addressing the player, the fourth priority in athlete development for maximizing player performance is movement. Then we teach them how to move. And when you teach an athlete how to move, and I don't care if they're a 10-year veteran of a professional league or if they're a young athlete just committing to a sport or if they're a 8, 9, 10-year-old, which would be the perfect place to teach it all, wow, when that light bulb comes on, when that eureka moment comes on, you literally change the trajectory of your athletes. And that's what we did, I believe, down in Vero Beach this last week. And that's what we've been doing in Europe and Africa with all the MLB programs and, you know, with the hockey agents we're helping out and all the other athletes that we're helping out. Really, really important conversations. That's why I'm glad you guys are here listening to us. Okay, listen. Today, I want to get to one of the most important conversations, and this is dedicated to all those athletes that were in Vero Beach. We had a great conversation about nutrition, and the girls and the coaches were really engaged and had some great conversations. And you know how they say all roads lead to Rome? Well, when it comes to nutrition, proteins, fats, carbohydrates, yes, for sure. Eating times and feeding times, yeah, very important. Supplements and how to use them, what's safe, what's not. A very, very important conversation, much needed for sure. Hydration, what to drink, when to drink it, how much to drink, how to monitor that and control it through competition and training, an incredible conversation. But for some reason, whenever we get into a conversation about nutrition, It all comes back to sugar. Sugar, sugar, sugar. And the crush war on sugar is raging, people. I know for the people who've written in, I love it. Thank you so much. I know we haven't had a War on Sugar episode. You guys can go onto our website. We sort of collected most of the War on Sugar episodes on our website, crushperformance.com. You can go there. If you haven't heard them, please go listen to them. We produce those shows for you, for your family, for your athletes. You need to be thinking about this. Unbelievable discussions this last week about sugar. And what I quickly realize every time that we get into this discussion is how little people think about it and how little we know about it. We're going to cut out for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the data we currently have on sugar. We're going to review one of the most important conversations we've had on sugar with Dr. Andois Allen. Listen, and the gist of this is important because this is sort of what we need to be thinking about. A calorie is not a calorie. All food is not created equally. Do you understand? And I want to share this conversation with you guys because it's critically important for helping you reach your potential no matter what you're doing, but most certainly in sport. What we don't realize is that too much sugar, too much simple carbohydrates, too much is devastating to performance. Devastating to performance. Listen, when we come back, we're going to have a great conversation with Dr. Andois Allen. So stick around, everybody. A very important Crush conversation coming up right after this.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
Okay, everybody, yeah, welcome back. Hey, thanks for sticking around over the break. Listen, a very important conversation today as we talk about food and, you know, we sort of reset the tone for the crush war on sugar here. If you have questions, comments, smart remarks, listen, if you have an idea or a topic you'd like us to investigate, let us know. Write to us, crushperformance.com. info@crushperformance.com is the email. We answer every message we get. And listen, we have taken topics and ideas and some of the things you guys have thrown into us, and we've dedicated segments, even entire episodes, to your ideas. So here's what we always say. If we don't know the answers, I can guarantee we know somebody who does know the answer. So if you do have a question or something that's plaguing you or something that you're battling with or something that's confusing you, let us know. We'll help you find the answer. That's as simple as that's all I can say. Because trust me, you guys, as much as we like to get you guys thinking about things that maybe you're not thinking about, oh my goodness, some of the notes and emails coming in, you guys really get us thinking again. And it's refreshing and it's fun. And truly, we love helping out. So if we can help you, let us know. Just let us know. Okay, well, here's what I'd like to let you know. A calorie is not a calorie. All food is not created equal. And sugar is not just destroying our health and wellness, it can be devastating to sport performance. So to set the tone for the upcoming War on Sugar, Crush War on Sugar episodes, I wanted to have this discussion. And believe me when I say there is no one better on the planet to talk to about this than our good friend, Dr. Andois Allen, the Chief of Biomedical Research at the Glycemic Research Institute in Washington, D.C., let's get to this incredibly important conversation. Dr. Allen, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Crush, how you doing?
Very good, Dr. Allen. Listen, our war on sugar continues. How about we start with a look back on what we've learned? Because some of the research that's come out over the last few years, our understanding is growing, but some of the research that's come out over the last few years has been incredibly alarming. Look, Doc, we know about obesity. We know about the trends in childhood obesity. We know about diets. Nothing seems to be working. But when we start hearing about the relationship between sugar and high glycemic diets to certain forms of cancer, and now degenerative brain diseases, holy smokes, this goes way, way deeper than I think we first imagined.
Yeah, and it's way scarier. When I started, you know, Glycemic Research Institute in 1983, it was just like, ooh, look at this. Hey, this determines how food's going to act in the human body. This is interesting. And then we fast forward to 2017, and all of the new clinical data out there, massive data by Harvard, by Yale, by Princeton, by NIH, massive amounts of money being spent to go, hey, wait a minute, we were wrong. Obesity isn't even caused by a lack of willpower. And all calories are not created equal. So don't even. So now the paradigm is, why are we even talking about calories? Calories are close to irrelevant.
Thinking a calorie is a calorie, that's an incredibly antiquated way of thinking. It's the old way of thinking, isn't it, Doc?
Oh, it's so old, it's not even funny. And the thing is, you know, how do we bring this new paradigm of understanding how the human body, I mean, works? Every day we understand more about the human body, right?
Yeah.
But the interesting thing for researchers like myself is, okay, we have this scathing new research that's been defined and redefined and validated and revalidated by different universities, and we all come up with the same conclusions. Our clinical research facility usually is spearheading the clinical research, but other universities picked it up. They do millions of dollars worth of research, and they go, whoa, it's worse than we thought. So antiquated is like T-Rex, okay? We can say calories equal T-Rex thinking. So the old way of thinking is that the energy content of foods, and the way we define that is called calories. It was makes them fattening, right? Okay, that's, oh, calories. Let's see. Let's look on the box and see how many calories. Irrelevant now. And how do you get that across to the American public or globally, okay, to say, hey, guess what? We got to change all the labels now on all food, on all fast food, all restaurant food, all grocery store food, because the new way of thinking and understanding is it is not the energy content of food, which is calories, that makes them fattening. Now, right there, that sentence is crazy. From the time that man has been on this earth until like the last couple of years, it's been calories, right?
Right.
The game is calories. And now we have to realize it's not the energy content of food, which is calories. It's the effect that foods and beverages have on the brain and the hormones that regulate fat accumulation. That's the game. So now, wait a minute. The whole game just changed. And, you know, we know the pathology. The conventional explanation, let's just say the old way, is energy imbalance. Oh, you take in too many calories and you get fat, right? And you get diabetes.
Right.
Okay? That's the old paradigm. The new paradigm is, okay, wait a minute. We know that the biggest enemy in health today, based on what we eat and what we do, what we put in our mouth, is insulin. Insulin is now called the death hormone by pharmaceutical companies, because the reason they named it that is giving people insulin to offset diabetes has become a major problem. What happens? They gain weight.
Right.
And insulin reduces your lifespan. So let's see. You get diabetes, you got to go on insulin, but insulin reduces your lifespan, exogenous insulin, taking insulin injections or patches. And so wait a minute. This whole thing is wacky. So really, the way that it goes is anything you eat that raises your blood glucose levels, which is high glycemic, stimulates insulin. That insulin prompts the fat cells to accumulate more fat and make more fat. The pancreas then secretes insulin to bring the glucose down. And then finally, your pancreas goes, hey, guess what, buddy boy? I ain't playing this game no more. I don't like what you're doing. We're not playing that, so I'm just going to go wacky, right?
Right.
And that's what type 2 diabetes is. Type 2 diabetes is when your body gets so pissed at you, it goes, okay, buddy boy, that's it. I've had it. You be fat, you be diabetic, you're on your own. It's really the pancreas just getting seriously pissed.
You're so right, Doc. So let's just backtrack here, because we've just covered some incredibly important points. If we look what the government are saying, what the, you know, the food guides are saying, what most nutritionists who've gone through the typical schooling and education are saying, they're all focusing on a calorie. Now, let's just establish what a calorie is for everybody who might not understand the definition of a calorie. It is a measurement of energy, the amount of energy needed to raise 1 gram of water, 1 degrees Celsius. And Doc, the old way of thinking, based on what you're saying here, the old way of thinking is the amount of energy in and energy out. That is totally obsolete now, is what you're saying.
Yes. And I love that you said that, because here's one thing we can do is, since a caloric measurement is turned energy, like turn up the heat. How much heat does it take? Okay, well, guess what? You have actually three type of fat cells in your body. One we didn't even know about, called bright cells. We ain't even getting into that today. But there's white adipose tissue fat, WAT, and there's brown adipose tissue fat, okay? And then you've got bright cells. We're not getting into that. It's too complicated.
Right.
That's a new one. But basically, here's the deal. if you want to turn up the burning of calories, okay, and where are calories stored? They're stored in the adipose tissue fat cells, but they're stored in white fat cells, not in brown fat cells. Now, here's the beauty of what you just said. Turn up the heat to burn a calorie, right? How much do you have to elevate the temperature of water to burn a calorie, to burn energy, right? Okay. Well, you do that internally. But here's how it works. White adipose tissue fat, like the fat cells around your belly, you know, the fat cells that drive us crazy, right? The white fat. They just sit there and they accumulate all these calories. La, 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 la. Okay. Let's make some more fat cells. Let's get fatter. La, la, la. They don't care. What, you think they have a conscience? Okay. But what stimulates the body to burn fat? It's brown adipose tissue fat cells. Bad. Okay. So there are so many pharmaceutical companies now trying to figure out how to stimulate BAT to, because the BAT cells, the brown fat cells, tell the white fat cells to burn fat. Now, how does that happen? It happens by dietary-induced thermogenesis, okay?
Right.
By something you eat. It happens by exercise, okay, which is a very poor way to stimulate white fat, by the way.
Right.
Not very efficient. There are a variety of mechanisms, and also internally, if you have high growth hormone levels in your body, if you have high testosterone, even estrogen. Estrogen tells brown fat cells to burn white fat cells. So think about it. When women go through menopause, they gain weight. Guess why? They've lost estrogen. Now, you would think that taking estrogen will fix that and it's all. No, it doesn't work that way. You can't do it that way because that's going to increase your risk of breast cancer and other things. And taking exogenous testosterone will increase your risk of prostate cancer. So the body's much more complicated than that. You can't just reverse, you know, put it in reverse gear and back her up, baby. That's not going to work.
No, it's a balancing
act. What you can do is to stimulate brown fat cells to tell the white fat cells to burn fat, okay? We can talk about that in another call, but in order to avoid that whole thing, okay, we have to stop turning the key code in our body to fat storage, the key code on the fat cell. Stop turning the key code, and that's the whole topic today, is mystery foods, hidden sugars. So this whole thing of, oh, we're going to identify calories and tell you how many calories in sugar, and that's going to solve the problem. It ain't going to solve the problem because every sugar has a different key code turn on it, whether it turns fat on or doesn't turn fat on.
Wow, you are opening a Pandora's box. We're talking with Dr. Ann DeWeese Allen, Chief Biomedical Researcher for the Glycemic Research Institute. Doc, so we've got it down now. The calorie is a calorie. That is old news. What we're talking about is the new way of thinking, which is looking how food affects the brain and hence the hormones that control the reactions in our body. That's where our minds have to go. Well, you brought up maybe one of the most convoluted and twisted things that's happening in the food industry right now. And that's this whole idea of sugar. And that, again, goes right into our theme of the crush war on sugar. You mentioned the mystery foods and the fact that there's so many different types of sugar. In a previous conversation that you and I have had, you mentioned that there might be as many as 100 plus ways to say sugar-free on a product. So how in the heck do we go about regulating sugars? And certainly, if we don't even know what the sugars are, how can we count the calories? It's crazy.
You're totally right, and the calories don't even matter anymore. We have to come up with a new paradigm.
Right.
Determining calories is physics, okay?
Right.
That's physics. But determining what makes us fat is biology and neurology. Those two things aren't connected. One is physics, one's biology and neurology. What are you saying to the brain? Like, that's why artificial sweeteners are, you know, more fattening than eating a whole bowl of sugar or drinking five regular Cokes, okay? That because the brain is going, let me see. You just ate this artificial sweetener. You just drank it. It's on the back of my tongue, okay? Doesn't even matter if you spit it back out. In clinical trials, we have our subjects spit it back out. They don't even have to. You don't have to swallow it. So think about that. If you don't have to swallow something and it just hits the back of the tongue, it can make you fat. Does that tell you that we need to change something? So if we look at sugars right now, okay, so people say, well, I'm just going to go by the calories. Really? That's really interesting. So you're just going to look for sugars. Let me tell you something. The sugar industry, and I don't know how they got this done, but they did. They talked the Food and Drug Administration into saying that the most fattening sugar on the face of this earth per clinical trials, okay, and we could go into the numbers. So I'll give you an example. The number in terms of fat storing and obesity on this sugar is 130. Regular sugar sucrose is 87.
Wow.
Okay? So the higher it is, the fatter it's going to make you, the more insulin you're going to spill. And that sugar is called maltodextrins. Yeah, guess what? Go in the grocery store, and the next time you start looking at foods, look how much maltodextrins are in them. Even Starbucks put maltodextrins in their products, okay?
Right.
Their coffee products. So, and even ice cream that says no sugar. So now, somehow the sugar industry convinced the FDA to say that maltodextrins is not a sugar. It's the most fattening sugar in the world. It is a sugar. But you don't have to call it a sugar. So now there's all this ice cream in the grocery store that will make you fatter than a pig that says no added sugar or no. Or seriously? Seriously? What do you think is making it sweet? What's in there? Is it just air? Is it ice cream air? So now they're putting massive amounts of maltodextrins in everything because they can say that it's not a sugar. So given that, how do you win the sugar war? You've lost it right there.
Right. So, Dr. Allen, when you talk about the glycemic index or of the maltodextrins compared to sugar, that correlates to how the body reacts, and we could sort of tie that directly to fat storage and energy storage, correct?
Oh, absolutely. There's really three things that happen,
right,
that are going to lead to obesity and diabetes. And of course, type 2 diabetes is a direct correlate of pissing off your pancreas and stimulating insulin constantly. I think, you know, it's a good idea for your listeners to say, here's some scathing things you go like, what? What?
Right.
Okay. The fact that diet soda makes you more fattening than regular soda. Okay. The fact that black coffee is incredibly fattening. Okay? There's an example. There's a very few calories, maybe 5 calories in black coffee, but it stimulates insulin. Okay? So whatever's going to stimulate blood glucose or insulin is the enemy. There really is only one enemy that we can directly correlate with that: obesity, diabetes, and a lot of other diseases. Cardiovascular disease, cancer, even the American Cancer Society is recommending that women get rid of some of that excess body fat, because the estrogen inside the fat cells are causing reduced survival times and a lot of complications in breast cancer that lead to reduced survival time and reduced susceptibility to treatment, to chemo or radiation or whatever. So we know that, okay, if you're a woman and you really want to worry less about breast cancer, then you got to get that fat reduced from around the midsection and around the breast tissue. That's just a fact. Same thing with men. Adipose tissue fat is directly correlated with prostate cancer. So we there's a correlation from the American Diabetes Association, not just on getting fat, but diabetes, okay, and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, which are growing at an alarming rate. So now, scientists are calling Alzheimer's type 3 diabetes because it's a lifetime of stimulating insulin in the brain. And so is it preventable? To a large degree, it is. Some of it's genetic. We're not sure of even all the causal factors. But the biggest thing anybody could do right now for long-term healthy survival of their children and themselves and less obesity and less diabetes and getting your weight under control is stop turning the key code that causes fat storage, that causes insulin to spill, that causes blood glucose to rise, and all of that triggers hormones. When you elevate blood glucose and insulin levels and you piss off the brain like that, then what's going to result is hormones that go crazy in the human body and make you fat, diabetic, Alzheimer's, and make permanent fat cells that you can't get rid of. So we can avoid the cascade. But Crusher, the thing is, avoiding the cascade is not pretending that sugars are the enemy when we don't even know which sugars we're talking about.
And there you go, everybody. You know, we often say that a problem accurately defined is already partially solved. In order to really tackle and solve a problem, we need to know as clearly as possible what's going on. And Dr. Allen is so right. We need to know what's going on with the sugars. Which sugars are we talking about? There's so many different names for sugar. And there's so many different ways that companies can say sugar-free or low sugar. And it's not. And not only that, what we have to understand as a whole, and I think Dr. Allen really set the stage for us here, is that how the body responds to the sugars. The great example here is maybe the artificial sweeteners, zero calories, yet they're causing more obesity than regular sugars, because that's how the body responds. That's the key to performance. That's what we talk to our athletes about, everybody. This is a good start to what's going to be coming up in the Crush War on Sugar, no question about it. Listen, go back and listen to this one if you want. You'll be able to get it on our website. The podcast is going to be available. And this is a really good thing to talk to your family about. I'm going to encourage all of you to go to your cabinet right now or next time you shop. Just start looking at how much sugar is in the food that you're putting into your shopping cart and bringing home with you. I think you're going to be surprised, because most people are. And if you're incredibly aware of it right now, good. And again, we don't have to be crazy. Moderation is the key. As Dr. Allen said, we can moderate the cascade by knowing what we're doing. But if we don't know what sugars are in there, if they're hidden or they're not named properly, or if we don't understand the true consequences of artificial sweeteners, well, then we're in trouble. And we are in trouble. Just look around you. More importantly, again, as I mentioned earlier in the show, get a little selfish, and it's time to take care of yourself. All right, everybody, that'll do it for today. Listen, we got a really wicked travel schedule. If you want to follow us, go to crushperformance.com. You can follow all of our travels. We're just cruising around the world here over the next 3 months, really just trying to help people understand how to reach their potential. That's what I love to do. And we're hitting the road. So follow along on Instagram, on social media. Check out Crush Performance on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Listen, everybody, thanks for tuning in today. Love it. I can't wait to hear your response and your ideas, your thoughts, if you have things you want us to investigate. And coming up next week, hey, we're going to be live from the Netherlands. So the podcast is going to be coming live from the Netherlands. It's going to be a ton of fun, and we hope you can join us. All right, that's it for Crush Performance this week, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time. And remember, we're here to help you think like an athlete.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to write.
This is a Landry Football Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
You can get away to some degree with a guy's character flaws at some positions. As long as he keeps his body in shape, as long as he works hard, he could be a bad egg. You don't have to be a great leader. And you can be a good pass rusher. You can be a good running back. You can be a good receiver. The quarterback position, never works. Oh, but Chris, Kenny Stabler never worked hard, and he drank beer. He did it in a different era. People didn't spend time in the weight room as much. Kenny was prepared. He prepared in his own way. Yeah, he lived the good life. So did Bobby Lane in the day. There are a lot of guys that did it in the past. Different world today. Much more sophisticated game.
The Landry Football Podcast with veteran scout and coach Chris Landry can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.